The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So great to have you with us today. Wow, we got a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff going on today. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling the show, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So Trish Regan is going to drop by. The UN now warning of a global recession. Gas prices have already reached record high levels in California, and you better get ready because those prices are coming to your neighborhood. Our good friends Mary Walter and Jeff Stein are going to be here for our regular radio roundtable talking about the midterm elections and Joe Biden and the mental decline. And there really wasn't a lot to work with to begin with, so this is a slippery slope we're dealing with. Cheryl Chumley from the Washington Times. She is the opinion editor there, bestselling author. She has a new essay out called Joe Biden Sees Dead People. What was it he said yesterday? We tried to pull the audio for you. The audio is just really low quality, and we don't want to hurt your earlobes. It's the lunch hour. You've got other things to worry about. But we will tell you that he said, what is it? Nobody blanks with the Bidens. That's what he said, and I would challenge that. That's not exactly accurate based on Hunter Biden's laptop and Ashley Biden's diary. I think the Bidens blank with the Bidens in a literal and biblical sense. No, I just call it like I see it here, people. What a terrible thing. Anyway, we're going to be checking with Cheryl Chumley, also a good friend, a former colleague at Fox News Channel, John Gibson, retired back to the ranch. He's got a beautiful ranch out in Texas, and now he writes great murder mysteries. And we're going to be talking to John Gibson about his latest book, Death in the Reeds. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've got to start out, though, with a conversation that we had yesterday on this program with Colonel David Giamono. And he was warning us of an October surprise. He's very concerned about how things are going down between Russia and Ukraine. And I think we're all facing we're facing decision time. There's something going on here. There's something very bad going on. Public service announcements are being run in New York City. Public service announcements also being run in New Jersey, warning people to have an action plan to protect themselves from radioactive fallout. Now we're getting word that Health and Human Services is spending a lot of money, and we're talking about a lot of money in the hundreds of millions of dollars, to provide communities and cities with medicines and equipment to deal with radiation poisoning. Now, why do you think that is? Do you think this is all just a coincidence? I mean, it may be just a coincidence, but do you believe this is a coincidence? There's a lot of talk about nuclear war, and if you listen very closely to the rhetoric, it's not coming from Vladimir Putin. It's coming from Joe Biden and the Biden administration and Ukraine. That's where the bulk of this talk is coming from. And the bigger concern we should all have is what will the Russians do if it turns out that Joe Biden, in fact, destroyed the Nord Stream 2 pipeline? What happens to us? Now, I suspect the retaliation will come not here, but in space, and the Russians could very well take out a lot of our satellites, and they've got the ability to do that. But back here at home, people are really starting to, they're starting to get concerned, and I have a lot of questions about why the government is spending hundreds of millions of dollars preparing for what certainly looks like some sort of nuclear hostilities here in America. As a matter of fact, this is from the Health and Human Services website. The headline from the government, HHS purchases drug for use in radiological and nuclear emergencies. And we're talking $290 million. Now, they're saying, well, this is all just, you know, this is all normal. Well, it may be, but are you buying what they're selling? Or do you think they know that something's about to go down? You see, ladies and gentlemen, they've tried a lot of things. And the Democrats really thought that Roe v. Wade being overturned was going to be the issue that would drive Democrats to the polls. But it's not working. As a matter of fact, it's dead last. The abortion issue is dead last in most of the polling data out there. So now they're having to come up with something else, and they got nothing else. I mean, gas prices are spiking again as we get closer to the election. People can't afford to buy groceries. I mean, you want to go out and buy a house? You can't do that. Interest rates are out the wazoo. People are really hurting. People are really struggling. There's a lot of concern out there. And the Democrats really, truly thought that the abortion issue was going to be the issue. You can't even go outside and enjoy a lovely picnic without being afraid that somebody's coming and they're gonna carjack your picnic basket. I'm just telling you, there's some very, very dangerous things happening. So my question to you is, what do you think the October surprise is going to be? Is it possible that there could be some sort of an armed conflict that breaks out between the United States and Russia? And the question is, what does that mean for those of us here in the continental U.S. of A? What does that mean for us here? Are we going to see hostilities in this country? I don't think we are. I suspect the bombs are going to be meant for Europe. But I do suspect that the Russians are going to target our satellites. And if they do that, that could put this country in a world of hurt. A world of hurt. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, Paul Goodman was asked about this issue. He is an English journalist with the Conservative Party. Cut number four, please.
Let's never forget that tomorrow looks different from today. So I'm going to enter the proviso at the start that if Vladimir Putin explodes a tactical nuclear weapon in Ukraine before Christmas, the entire domestic political conversation will change. So having laid that marker down, let's try to look at the facts as we know them today. And, you know, the facts as we know them today is a huge blow has been struck to Liz Truss's authority. We don't know whether or not she can recover it, and we will find out whether she can, not at what's left of this conference, but when Parliament resumes next week.
Now, Russia is on the record. Just a few moments ago, a Kremlin spokesman comes out and says, hey, look, we're not bluffing here. I mean, if you guys are going to come after us, we do have the right to use those nukes, but we're committed to avoiding nuclear war. Most of the war talk is coming from Ukraine and the Biden administration. So my question to you is this. Is it worth risking nuclear war to protect Ukraine? At this point, is it worth it? Now, we heard yesterday from the colonel that there are a couple of warning signs, and one of them is happening tomorrow when Ukraine's going to make its bid for emergency membership into NATO. And if that's approved, that means NATO would be forced to defend Ukraine. Now, we don't know if that's retroactive or if they're going to put some sort of a caveat on this. I don't know if they're going to grandfather in this current conflict. But regardless, it sets the stage for us to be in a shooting war with the Russians. And I'm not sure that that is a winnable war for us with the state of our military right now and the wokeness that has infected our military. I hope we can. But when nuclear weapons start flying, we're in a whole different world, folks, a whole different world. And this is not one of those worlds where 2 weeks, like you see on TV, where a couple of weeks later, everything's back to normal and the little bluebirds are flying around and people are frolicking about. That's not going to happen. But it just seems to me, you get this feeling, I don't know if you, maybe it's just me. Do you get the feeling that we're just being dragged into something here? Are you sensing, I have a sense of dread about this is what I have, a sense of dread. But the question, and it's a question people are asking at the Federalist Society, it's a question people are asking on social media, it's trending right now. Nuclear war is trending on Twitter. So the question of the hour, is Ukraine worth fighting a nuclear war over? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. We're going to take a look at some brand-new polling data out that's showing a red tsunami is forming. This is going to make you very happy. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. Y'all have helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, our good friend, wants to give back exclusively to our listeners. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. You better order now because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable, and they have a cool, crisp feel. And they come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is a limited supply, so you better order right now. Call 1-800-986-3994 and use the promo code STERNS. That's 1-800-986-3994. Or you can go to MyPillow.com/STERNS. That's MyPillow.com/STERNS and use the promo code STERNS. All right, welcome back to your election headquarters, ladies and gentlemen, the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This is it. You're going to be getting the best election coverage and analysis leading in the midterms than any other place on the radio. And we're excited for you to be a part of the conversation. Hey, let's go to the phones real quick. 844-747-8868. Statesville, North Carolina. Mike, WSIC, our great station there. Hey, Mike, what's
good,
up?
Good to talk to you again, Todd. Enjoy the program. I'm semi-retired, but I try to listen at least three times a week. And enjoy your advertisers, too. The MyPillow people are great. And I think if we look at the storm we just had, boy, it's important for all of us for lots of reasons to have extra food stored up, water, emergency supplies. All those are great companies. My thing is I don't think anything's going to happen. I think Putin's going to declare victory at some point, try and hold on to those provinces. And I think the chastened Chinese are going to back off. I mean, they'll still intimidate. But I think all of it is everything that the Democratic Party is going to do from now until the election is to distract us from their horrible performance and leadership. And I think we just got to keep hammering that. And that's what I think this is all about. It's all just distraction. And just like you're saying about abortion, anything they can find, try and keep people from looking at their empty wallets and looking at the out of control government, the horrible crime in this country now, which has become epidemic. I think everything they're going to do with foreign policy and other things is to distract us from the horrendous job they're doing running the country at home.
It's fascinating what this polling data is showing us. And again, you take it with a grain of salt, but it's interesting. NBC News says that a very large chunk of Latino independent voters are still undecided. There is a lot of thinking that Hispanics are going to break for Republicans in the midterms, primarily because of the economic and crime issues. Those are the big issues driving people to the polls. What about yourself, Mike? What's going to force you to get out there and vote? Oh, I think we lost Mike, but appreciate the call. 844-747-8868. I mean, what is it for you that's going to compel you to get out there and go vote on Election Day? Overwhelming majority of the country says it is crime. That's the big problem. I want to play some audio for you. Stacey Abrams, the romance novelist running for governor of Georgia. First of all, she now claims that she never challenged the outcome of the election. This is an interview she just did yesterday. I want you to listen to this.
Will you commit to conceding if you do not win more votes than Governor Kemp?
I have always acknowledged the outcome of elections, and what is deeply concerning to me is the conflation of access to the right to vote and the outcome of elections. I have never challenged the outcome of the election. In my speech on November 16th, I clearly stated that he was the victor. And any time I've discussed the outcome, it has always been in the context of what we were able to generate among voters who are used to not being considered a part of the process. But my fight will always be about access. I know that heading into the 2022 election, there are new barriers that have been put in place, that there are senior citizens and disabled voters who are facing a much more difficult time getting access to absentee ballot applications. I will never be silent about the issues of voter access because I believe in our democracy and I believe in our right to vote. I do not question the outcome of the election, but I do question the process.
But on this question, I didn't hear an answer to the question. Will you commit to conceding the election if Governor Kemp does have more votes?
Again, I answered your question at the very beginning. I acknowledged at the very beginning that he won the election. What I said in my speech...
That you also wouldn't concede.
No. What I said in that speech is I would not concede a system that would not permit voters to be heard.
Mm-mm-mm. Good for you, lady reporter. Wow, clearly she didn't go one of the Ivy League journalism schools, but she did a great job there calling out Stacey Abrams. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Todd Stearns radio program, longtime listeners, you know this. We have a mind like a steel trap. We never forget on this radio program. So we went back into the annals of our audio vaults, and we discovered some audio from one Stacey Abrams, and it completely dismisses everything she just said.
I do have one very affirmative statement to make. We won.
But I didn't lose. I got the votes. But we won't know exactly how many because of how they cheated.
I did win my election. I just didn't get to have the job.
We were robbed of an election.
Using the word rigged, using the word steal, do you think it's dangerous going into 2020?
I don't, because we can actually back it up.
And so in response to what I believe was a stolen election. And I'm not saying they stole it from me. They stole it from the voters of Georgia.
I spent the interim 10 days between the election and my non-concession day, as we call it. In fact, someone outside asked if I'm ever going to concede. The answer is no. It was not a free and fair election. I think the election was stolen from the people of Georgia.
I believe it was stolen from the voters.
I just said it can't happen again. Thousands of Georgians had their voices stolen because they were not able to cast ballots, and they cannot be guaranteed that their votes will be counted in 2020 if we don't do this right. I said that the election was stolen from the Georgia voters.
If it looks like it's cheating, it probably is. If it looks like it's rigged, it probably is.
The process that took place during the legislative cycle was one that did not countenance and did not pay attention to the deep and real concerns of those who watched this election be stolen in the state of Georgia. It was stolen from the voters of Georgia. We do not know what they would have done because not every eligible Georgian was permitted to participate fully in the election.
All right, there you have it. I mean, she's a liar, folks, and she's not even a very creative liar. And you would think for a romance novelist that she would be pretty good at spinning a yarn, that one. In the words of the great Madea, Stacey Abrams needs to put the shut to the up. The shut to the up.
Hallelujah.
All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I have a question about a story that happened last night in the Memphis area, and it's just heartbreaking. Pit bulls attacked and killed a baby and his little sister, injured the mom. Would you have a pit bull in your house? 844-747-8868. We'll tell you the story there. It's a horrible one. Stick around. We'll be right back, America. There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. All right. Hello, America. Good to have you back with us. By the way, if you missed it, this happened late in the show yesterday, but there was a big prayer gathering of evangelical Christians at the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Herschel Walker was there, and the new pastor of First Baptist Atlanta, Dr. Anthony George. And let me tell you something about that church now. It had been going through some ups and downs. Pastor George takes the pulpit, and all of a sudden, he starts speaking truth to the culture. You know, a lot of churches out there these days, they don't want to have anything to do with politics. They don't want to have anything to do with the culture or the school board stuff. They think that it's evil for Christians to get involved in the political process. But what they're really doing is they're marginalizing and neutralizing Christians. They don't want you Christians out there. Well, Pastor George is not like that. And ever since he started talking about these issues, more and more people are just literally flooding into the church house. So they had this big event, a couple of hundred people turn out, and Herschel Walker got to, you know, share his side of the story. And Pastor George hopped on the program at the very last minute, and we had a great conversation. And he said, look, Herschel laid it all out. The pastor says he believes Herschel Walker, and he says that he doesn't even believe there's a dilemma here. And it's interesting to start to watch. I've been watching the analysis coming out over the past 48 hours, and it looks like even the mainstream media is acknowledging in a very begrudging way that this is not a big issue, that things may not appear to be the way they are, but even if that it is, it's not going to be an issue for voters in the state of Georgia. So there you have it. You should go back and check out the podcast and listen to that. It was a fascinating conversation with Anthony George, the pastor who's been spending time with Herschel Walker there at the First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. May I say this? The reason they're attacking Herschel Walker with such vengeance is because the Democrats and the media feel betrayed. They would consider Herschel Walker to be committing a crime because he ran away from the Democrat plantation and they want him back. So they don't like it. They don't like it when black Americans don't do their bidding. Keep in mind, you heard Nancy Pelosi a couple of weeks ago, was it last week, talking about how we've got to have those brown people to go down south and pick all the cotton and work the crops. Not a lot has changed in the Democrat Party's mindset from the early 1860s to where we are today. Not a lot has changed. So just keep that in mind as Nancy Pelosi becomes, I don't know, some sort of a plantation owner. It's very bizarre. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. A couple of interesting crime stories. I've got to do this now because we're going to be slammed for the rest of the show. So over the weekend, there was a protester. You saw this. There was a two protesters, actually, and they ran onto the field during the San Francisco 49ers, Los Angeles Rams game. It was the linebacker, Bobby Wagner. So you had a couple of folks. There were these were these the animal rights people? They weren't PETA, but they were very skinny. They looked really malnourished. And there were two of them. One of them, the guy, was able to run onto the football field in the middle of the game. And he had some sort of a device that was puffing pink smoke. And at first, everybody thought, oh, this must be the transgender protest. We don't know. Nobody knew. And that's the whole thing. So Bobby Wagner sees this going down, and he sees this nut job running across the field, smoke billowing out, this pink smoke. And he decides to tackle the guy. And I mean, took the guy out. As well he should. In my estimation, it was a clean hit. I did not see a ref throw a flag. And I saw a picture of the two afterwards, and the guy literally looked like he had been run over by a Mack truck. So now the guy is complaining. The protester filed a police report. And the Santa Clara Police Department confirmed to the Associated Press that they're actually investigating. Investigating what? Investigating what? As a matter of fact, teammate Tack McKinley helped Wagner. Oh, it was a beautiful hit. You should have seen. There are great photographs of this circulating on the Twitter. Now, Wagner says he didn't do anything wrong. He said, look, we've got a right to be concerned, and he feels like he did the right thing. He says, you never know what's going to happen. You never know people are going to jump onto the field. You know what these people are doing. Some people stripped down, they're buck naked, running around, embarrassing themselves and their mothers. Others are out there trying to cause harm to people. And by the way, nobody knew what that was. Nobody knew what that smoke was. They had no idea. It could have been some sort of a chemical weapon. All sorts of crazy stuff going down. So anyway, and by the way, the Eli brothers, Peyton and Eli, were doing the play-by-play on this, and they said it looked like a good hit to them. So here's my take on it. I mean, if you are going to decide, and I'm talking to all of you pajama boy snowflakes out there with little teeny tiny man parts, if you are going to put on your big boy pants and go to the football game and go toe-to-toe with a linebacker who's twice as tall as you are and about 10 times as large, then you better come ready to play ball. And if you don't, they're going to carry you out on a stretcher. And they're lucky. This guy is lucky he's not in the hospital with some broken bones. But if you tug on Superman's cape, you get what you ask for. That's all I'm saying here. Grace, I know you're a dog lover, and this story is horrible. It's just horrible.
Yes, I think I know what you're talking about.
So last night, there are two stories, but one involves Chick-fil-A, and we'll talk about that later.
Oh.
I'm stunned at the Chick-fil-A story.
It's quite shocking.
So you have a situation where a family owned pit bulls, two pit bulls, and yesterday afternoon, the pit bulls attacked the family. The mother's in critical condition. And the two children, a 5-month-old?
Yeah, 5-month-old.
And a 2-year-old girl, a little boy, a little girl, a little baby boy, and his 2-year-old sister. They were killed. Sheriff's Department shows up. They're dead at the scene. Mm. No details other than the dogs committed the crime, and they were taken into animal custody, whatever the animal control
was.
Thank you. They were summoned. I don't know what's going to happen to the dogs. I'm reading this story, and at first we didn't know what kind of a dog did this, but immediately I thought pit bull. And then it comes out that it in fact was a pit bull. And those dogs actually, I'm good with dogs, but not with the pit bulls.
Really?
Yeah, they. I just don't know if you can trust a pit bull.
Well, I think the problem with pit bulls is just, I mean, I've met some of the nicest dogs that are pit bulls, but the problem is they are oftentimes bred for fighting. And then somebody, they get sent to the Humane Society, whatever, then some family, sweet family, adopts this dog, but that dog still remembers what it was trained to do. So, like, the wrong thing, and it just sets them off. And that, I bet that, I have a feeling that's what happened here.
So, you don't think that, so you're saying, is there a difference between raising a pit bull from, like, birth?
Yes.
To maybe getting one at the shelter?
Oh, 100%. But most people adopt them from a shelter. I think if you look at the statistics, they just do. So, those dogs have a past that you don't even know about. You're just, you know, you're picking up this dog, you're like, oh, he's so cute, he's so sweet. And you have no idea. I mean, that dog might have been involved in dog fighting. That's oftentimes what they're bred to do.
That's fascinating. And it's so I'm wondering, though, if you go down to the local animal shelter, will they tell you that, hey, look, you know, I know you want this dog, but, you know, it came from a bad home or it has a history?
Typically, they'll tell you the issues the dog has. Like, they're like, oh, this dog isn't good around children, or this dog, you know, was XYZ. I think normally you might have to ask some extra questions, and I think that it's a fair point to say, would you get a pit bull knowing that it had that past if you had young children? That's probably not a smart idea.
The two dogs that always freaked me out when I was a kid was the Doberman Pinscher.
Oh, really?
It was the tail. It's so like
cute.
A little nub. And then the pit bulls.
Really?
Yeah, big time.
See, I've met some of the nicest pit bulls, but I've owned a pit bull mix. But, you know, again, with dogs, when you rescue a dog, I know many rescue dogs, they have weird, like, quirks. Like, they're like, oh, they don't like, this dog doesn't like men. This dog doesn't like women.
So they do surveys, and they studied this to find out, okay, how many dog bites are there? How many people are killed by dogs every year? And these are some fascinating numbers. This is from 2010 to June of 2021, 430 fatal dog attacks. 430. 60% of those came from pit bulls.
Yeah.
Either full-blooded pit bulls or a mix. 7% from Rottweilers and 4% from German Shepherds. So I had no reason to fear Doberman Pinschers.
Well, this is true. I would be really curious to know how many of those pit bulls were on the streets. Like, people dumping them, and they're just, seriously, they're just out on the streets. Like, they're not in a home, they're just out and about.
I'd
be very curious to know.
I would just, and I see the pictures, you know, you just get, I don't know why, on my Instagram, and I haven't figured this out, and if somebody knows what I can do, please tell me. Now all I'm getting are, like, little, like, kitten pictures and baby elephant videos.
Baby elephants.
I'm getting baby elephant videos and kitty cat videos. And I see the parents filming, you know, the cats as they're, like, around the babies, like, in the crib. And I think even cats are, you never know. They're so erratic.
Well, I wouldn't put a cat in a crib. I don't think that's a good idea. I just don't. But anyway, that's just me. I would never own a cat either.
Okay, so would you put a pit bull?
No, you've got
a five-month-old baby. Would you really want to have a pit bull in the house?
I mean, I think if it was a pit bull I raised from birth, I would have literally no problem with it. If it was a pit bull that I know had a past and abuse, you know, he was abused, which is terrible in its own right, I would probably not choose to have the pit bull in my home.
Is it the Hunter Biden of the dog world?
Oh, no. See, I'm still like, not in this story. In this story, I'm like, they better euthanize these dogs. I mean, clearly they're a danger. They do not need to go to another home. It is lost cause.
It's a heartbreaking thing.
It's horrible.
And I cannot even imagine the crime scene and those poor sheriff's deputies.
I don't even want to imagine it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they've already euthanized these dogs. I mean, there's no way they let them live.
They got to send them to the the next life. Or
to the Rainbow Bridge.
Or to the Lake of Fire.
The dogs killed. Too.
All right.
It's terrible.
844-747-8868. Thank you, Grace Baker. 844-747-8868. Look, today is a very special day. On behalf of our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom, I am now designating, and I get to do this because I own the show, I, Todd Starnes, am hereby designating today as $1,000 Thursday. Thursday. I'm sorry, we don't have special effects here. My apologies. I am inviting you to visit ToddStearns.com right now. All this month, we're raising money for Alliance Defending Freedom. Click on the banner. You will see it as soon as you get to the website to make any gift in any amount. But I want five people in our vast audience from border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain, who believe in defending religious liberty, that you will make a tax-deductible gift of $1,000 today and help us get urgently needed support to ADF. Now, many of you listening to my voice, you recently sent your son or daughter off to college. Already, we're getting feedback from campuses that are turning out to be challenging places for students of faith, public universities, muzzling free speech, targeting Christians, and that's why I need your help right now. Go to ToddStearns.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner, and if you can, make a $1,000 donation today, right now, on $1,000 Thursday.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, folks, just a quick word for our radio friends at WABC and really all across New York City. We got some very difficult news early this morning. A good friend of mine from the old Fox News days, Bernie McGurk, had a great show on WABC, Sid and Bernie, and he passed away just really before his time. He'd been dealing with cancer. Bernie was just a consummate professional, a terrific broadcaster, and we certainly want to remember Bernie's family and also his radio family. I mean, when you work in radio, you're around the team almost 24/7, and you really develop relationships and friendships, and it's just a high level, high intensity job. And I know that a lot of people over at WABC are hurting. A good man, and Bernie, we're going to miss you. And just say a prayer for the good people over at WABC and, of course, Bernie's beloved family. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Lucy, listening to us on the Nevada Talk Network. Hi, Lucy. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Lucy. Lucy. Hey, I was... listening to your Pitbull story, and it's so heartfelt that I just had to give a call, too, because I think you guys missed a small point that could be very valuable. And my understanding, I used to have a Cocker Spaniel back in the day, and I learned over time that when dogs are inbred, you know, within their own, that they actually become very mentally disturbed because of them being inbred. And so depending on where you actually buy your puppy from, a mill, or if you buy them from a private, wherever, you got to really find out about the mother and the father and the history of them, because it could be a brother, sister, you know, mother, son kind of deal. You know what I mean? And yeah, that really makes a big difference on that chemical balance in their head.
Lucy, my understanding is that a lot of these puppies, and you're right, I mean, when you breed these dogs, they are prone to suffer not only birth defects like heart conditions, but also when they get older. I mean, they may be cute and cuddly as puppies, but the older they get, there is this aggression that starts to develop. And I suspect, you know, of course, we don't know. They're not telling us, you know, what led to the attacks. We don't know any of that. All we know are that two beautiful children, human children, are dead now.
It's shame. I mean, my dad would say it's a crying shame because it is how people raise their animals. You know, it's just the same thing. When you raise your children, who are they going to become later in life? And the same thing with your animals, however you treat them. My friend actually has a pit, and that pit is so well-mannered. She is the sweetest dog. She had her since she was a puppy. And, you know, but you never know, you know, what's going to, you know, trigger something from them to turn on you later. And I honestly believe that it has something to do with, in small areas like where I live, there's not a whole lot of population here. So you might actually end up with a dog that belongs to, you know, its ancestors.
Oh, geez, Lou. Lucy, I hate to do this, but we got to run here. We're coming up against the break. But thanks for calling in. That's a great point you made. And thanks to all of our listeners across the great state of Nevada. Hang tight. Hour two coming up. 844-747-8868. Oh, you know it, folks. It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, have you heard this crazy story? I don't know what it is with Memphis, Tennessee. But there was a big national story that broke yesterday about five IRS staffers. And these IRS staffers, pretty bad folks, and we're naming and shaming these people. The IRS staffers were accused of fraud. So they were taking a lot of these, like the PPP stuff, all of those stimulus money, that government money. And they were not using it for the right reasons. As a matter of fact, according to the Justice Department, these five staffers used federal stimulus money to buy Gucci clothing and Gucci handbags. One of them bought a Mercedes-Benz. And another took a trip to Las Vegas. And the way I see it, these people were caught stealing from the American taxpayers and they need to go to jail. But here's my concern. Biden is about to unleash 87,000 more people just like that to pillage and plunder our personal bank accounts. And now we know why. So anyway, our friends at KWAMRadio.com, that's our flagship radio station, KWAMRadio.com, we've listed all of the people who got arrested. Name and shame every single one of them. And they're all Democrats. Just wanted to point that out. All right, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I know our good friend, she is the proprietor of TrishIntel.com, Trish Regan. I know Trish Regan's not surprised by this.
that they're all leftists? You know, it's that hypocrisy again, I guess, the double standard, right? Look, I think you're touching on something very concerning here, Todd, which is that we are giving sort of new strength and power to the federal government in a way that, let's face it, like, what was this country founded on? I know freedom and all that, but part of it, very much at its core, was economic freedom, so that you are not taxed and taxed and taxed and taxed. I mean, this is what the Boston Tea Party was about. This is what our colonists, and I was an American history major at Columbia, grew up in New Hampshire, one of the 13 original colonies. So I've always been fascinated by this. But people talk about a lot of the ideals. A lot of them were very economic at their core, in that people should have the right to work and earn money and keep that money. And so that's part of our system. And so the idea that you're going to fortify this IRS in a way that's going to make them the ultimate power, the federal government the ultimate power, is pretty scary, I think, to a lot of Americans. And especially if you run the risk that there's p- potentially some corruption, as you were just pointing out. I mean, that's a very fearful thing for people.
Well, and Trish, when you look at, go back and look at President Trump and what he was trying to do, and I thought it was really brilliant framing this as the deep state. It really is a shadow government that is being run in Washington, D.C. by these career bureaucrats. And that's what Trump was trying to dismantle. And I think that's why he found so much resistance to his agenda in Washington. But this is a very disturbing thing, especially when you throw in the story late yesterday. The FBI raided another home of a pro-life leader. Almost a dozen pro-lifers arrested for literally blocking sidewalks in front of abortion clinics, which is a federal crime. And meanwhile, you have the FBI turning a blind eye to all of the clinics, you know, the crisis pregnancy centers that have been firebombed and the churches that have been vandalized. So it's very clear to me that chunks of the federal government have been weaponized to take out political enemies.
Well, and you also consider, Todd, that the federal government, the Biden administration, is now warning that there's going to be disinformation out there ahead of the November elections. You combine that with, let's see, I got an email actually this morning from Marco Rubio's campaign that went straight to my spam box. And you know that the RNC has filed an allegation with the Federal Elections Committee saying that they believe that the vote is being suppressed because the RNC can't get their emails out to people. They're all going to spam. So there's a fear out there that there's a coordinated effort with the administration and with some of the biggest entities out there that are in the social media space, that are online, that are suppressing another viewpoint, because that other viewpoint, if you dare to disagree with the status quo that the Biden administration, you know, wants you to have, then you are somehow criminalized in some way. And this is a difficult and dangerous time. I mean, you look at the protests that are going on and have been going on in Iran for women, right, on behalf of women, because a woman was badly beaten after she was not wearing her hijab correctly, and it goes on and on. So the people are, they're taken to the streets, they're protesting, and the regime, the government, is trying to suppress all that immediately in a really heinous way. And in that case, you have people actually dying. But I was thinking, you know, we don't have people dying, but we have a suppression of sorts, and that is not who we are. I watched the movie. Have you seen Trumbo? About McCarthyism. Right?
Yes, I love that movie, actually. It's a great movie.
Yes, and you know what? Young people should see it, because nowadays in school, there's one view. And if you do not subscribe to that view of America, you are the outcast. And, you know, maybe it's different in Tennessee. I live up in the Northeast. But I think it's really important, because I respect intellectual diversity, real debate, discussion, having sensitivity to all sides, but I don't. That's not what we're seeing right now. This is almost like that reverse McCarthyism, where conservatives are now considered a threat to the state, and that is troubling.
Well, and here in my part of Tennessee, where I was born and raised, we're the bluest of the blue. We may as well be San Francisco. I mean, we have a George Soros district attorney. And the Republicans here are afraid. They don't want to speak out because they're afraid of losing jobs, afraid of losing their status, their position in society. And then you've got a governor who is a Republican, Billy, and a nice guy, but he's no Ron DeSantis. And so I think in a way the state Republicans have kind of written off this part of the country. So I know exactly what you're talking about, Trish.
Yeah, no, it's very tough, and I didn't realize that about where you are in particular, Todd. It is a very scary time. I think if your listeners have not seen Trumbo, they should go back and watch it. And from the viewpoint that it can happen on either side, whether it's conservatives, whether it's liberals, the point being you can't have one team calling all the shots and saying that the other side, because they disagree, is a threat to the nation. And that's not who we are. That's not the country that we want to be. And it's very disturbing. I mean, I can get on my soapbox about this for a long time, because I have never seen anything like it. And I'm a little bit hurt as an American, because I grew up with this ideal that, you know what, we can talk and we can have honest discussions, and should certainly be able to do that in intellectual academic institutions. And what I have seen is the exact opposite. And it's my biggest fear, really, for our future.
Trish Regan on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the website trishintel.com. And if you don't listen to the podcast, you got to listen to the podcast. Trish, we are seeing record-breaking gas prices in California. Do you suspect, do you anticipate we're going to see those prices rising all over the country? And if so, why?
I do. I mean, OPEC, of course, is making its moves to lessen production. Now, there's an effort, and I know a lot about this because I've covered Venezuela for some time. There's an effort to get Chevron now pumping more oil from Venezuela. So you may see that help the situation. But look, we're running out of oil at the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which, by the way, should never have been tapped. You don't do that for political purposes. That's in case of real emergency, like what Europe is facing right now as a result of, you know, the closure of the Nord Stream pipeline and the mess overseas. So we most likely have to replenish that oil, and I suspect we're going to have higher oil prices for sure this winter, with a cold winter expected.
And again, I think this is adding up, Trish, to the perfect storm for Republicans to sweep the House and the Senate in the midterms if this keeps up.
I think you're onto something. I mean, there's other issues. You brought up the abortion issue earlier. There are some of those things that we'll see how that shakes out.
I mean, the polling data, though, I mean, we were sharing some of the polling data, and that's polling very low, so much so that Raphael Warnock's not even making an issue of the Herschel Walker stuff that came out. I think it's crime, the economy, and the border to some extent. But I suspect,
I think,
yeah, go
right.
Ahead.
You know, I actually do. I hope you're right, because to me, these are the issues that matter. These other things are wedge issues that the Democrats are using to sort of exploit. But what do people really care about? How they want to be safe. They want to have money to take care of themselves and their family. And, you know, and they want independence. They don't want government saying, you know what, your child thinks she's a him, and as a result of that, we're going to let them go forward with operations at a very young age when the brain is still developing, the child is still a child, and you don't have any say about it. I mean, this is happening, by the way, and what I would point out is a number of states have basically, if your child is over 12 years old, you don't have access to much of their records, much of their medical records in hospitals, and I find that really appalling. I got a couple of 12 years old, and they're 12, right? Like, children are children, really. I you know, I was still a pretty young 18-year-old, I think, and we're asking too much of children and forcing them to grow up in a way that I think parents are going to really fight back against a lot of this stuff.
Trish, we're going to have to leave it there. I always love having you on the program, and you are, I mean, when it comes to the economy, tops in our book, so we appreciate the great work you do.
I love talking to you, Todd. You've been a friend for a long time, so thanks for having me.
All right, Trish Regan, ladies and gentlemen, trishintel.com, that website. Bookmark that website, and you can also download her podcast, and I would encourage you to do that. It is really a terrific listen. All right, I've got to share this item with you, and I will say this. I have been impressed two times with the New York Times. They've done a pretty good job covering a couple of stories that we've talked about, and it's kind of shocking. Professor Maitland Jones Jr., been teaching for decades. He taught four decades at Princeton. He is a chemistry professor, and he was a chemistry professor at New York University. So anyway, this professor, Professor Jones, is a tough cookie, and here's the reason why. He teaches organic chemistry. That is the class you take if you are going to become a doctor. So you really want this course to be very difficult so that you weed out the people who may not be good doctors, or they may not make the cut. So you want to be able to weed them out in this class, which is why it's so incredibly difficult. So anyway, a bunch of the students got offended because they said the class was too hard and the professor was not nice. He was mean. He was a big meanie. So the New York Times has a story. At NYU, a hard course, student complaints, and a fired professor. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. Professor Jones, an award-winning professor, was fired because 82 of his 350 students signed a petition. And here's why he was fired. The university says his organic chemistry class was just too hard. The students apparently had forgotten how to study during the China virus lockdown. You can blame that on the Democrats. So people were asking, why this professor, and why was he so hard on the students? And the reality is that he was tough because he wants them to learn. He wants the best of the best to become the doctors. I love this. Somebody wrote a letter to the editor. And they said, what were these kids doing? How do you forget to study during the China virus pandemic? Were they playing video games? Why weren't they reading the textbook? Why weren't they watching the videos? By the way, the guy paid $5,000 out of his own pocket to put his lectures on videos. Why did they show less initiative and resolve than actual prisoners in jail who obtained degrees while behind bars? Oh, that's a great question. Instead of weeding out the students who failed to make the grade, NYU invoked the increasingly popular American response. If the goal is too hard to reach, you move the goalpost. The article said those who fail organic chemistry might not be admitted to medical school. That's good news. I love this, right? Who is this? Who is the author of this? It's Claudia Reed from McMinnville, Oregon. She's the writer of this letter to the New York Times. She says, if I were hospitalized with a possibly fatal illness, would my doctor decide that finding a correct diagnosis was just too hard? I don't know what it is. We thought you had the flu, but that's as good as we could do, ma'am. I'm sorry. This is America, ladies and gentlemen. This is the entitlement generation right here. I don't know about you, but I want my doctor to be the best of the best. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Grace Baker, there was a giant box waiting for me. And
it wasn't a bomb.
I always injected. No. Yeah, we always get our mail screened. Yes. So we typically don't have to worry about
and
that.
And then there's me. I check it again.
So I got a card in the mail. I'm having a birthday later this month.
I know.
And it's the big one. It's the 5-5.
That's a big one.
It's
sure.
A big one. So anyway, someone from Salem, Oregon sent me a birthday gift.
And yes, they did. And it was so thoughtful.
It is pretty spectacular. So Carrie, who's one of our regulars from KYKN in Salem, Oregon, was at our big barbecue that we had out there a couple of months back. Says, happy birthday, Todd. Thanks for coming to Salem. And wrote a kind note as well. But then he in this giant box is a football helmet. And it's for those of you watching on the live streams on Getter and Rumble and on Facebook, can you see it? You can see it. All right, gracious. So, I've got to move it over. All right.
There you go, Todd.
All right. So anyway, it's a UT, University of Tennessee, that beautiful orange. It looks so good in this studio. But it's not just a helmet, Grace Baker. It's like it's for snacks.
It's a snacking helmet. It's multi-purpose.
This is pretty awesome. So it has a place for like chips and dip or salsa or queso, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely.
This is pretty awesome.
And then it's got a place for your chips, and they're separated.
That's why the lid comes off.
Yes, Todd.
And there's a little football. I didn't know the football was inside. Carrie, this is the nicest thing anyone's ever gotten me. Thank you. Y'all are my favorite radio station now. No, I'm just kidding. We love all of you the same, like a good parent. All right, got to take a break here. But thank you, Carrie. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Go Vols!
We had a caller. His name's Pastor Matthew in Missouri, and he had a very special message for you.
Wait. We've got a protocol here. I'm supposed to welcome people back to the show.
But this is really important.
Oh, for crying out loud. All right, what?
He wanted me to tell you that you need to cry your little orange tears before you get rolled by Georgia and Missouri.
Very inappropriate. Very inappropriate, Grace Baker.
I had to tell you.
Unbelievable.
It was my duty.
All right. Thank you, Grace. All I can say is there will be orange tears crying from all of America when the Vols win the national championship. That's all I'm going to say. 844-747-8868. Welcome back. Look, haters all, it's football season, and I need to explain this. We have some great radio guests on for the Radio Rumble. Mary Walters from New Jersey, which doesn't have football, and Jeff Stein from Iowa, and, well, my condolences, Jeff.
I'm just wondering when you are accepting resumes to replace Grace after what she just did to you on national radio.
See, Jeff, this is what I have to deal with here. It's tough, and you know. I mean, it's
the struggle is real, my friend. The struggle is real.
It's real. You know what? We hate each other during football season, but then you know we make up and we make amends, and we go out and have barbecue after the national championship.
Well, as long as there's a protocol, at least that one's being followed.
There you go. Well, there you go. Thank you, Jeff Stein. Our great guest, Jeff Stein from KXEL Waterloo, Iowa, and the great, the wonderful Mary Walters from New Jersey, who is just about, you were filling in for Kilmeade the other day, I believe.
Yes, and don't forget my podcast. I have a political podcast, and then I have like a later podcast. So my political podcast is tonight, 7:15 on YouTube. Just look for Mary Walter Radio, no S, Mary Walter Radio, or on Getter, look for Mary Walter. And I would like to say I'm on Grace's side in this one because she's an award winner. And so you need to let her bask in the glow of her recent award from the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters. So I think Grace can do whatever she wants.
I like the way this woman thinks.
Wow. All right. They're ganging up on us here, Stein. Come on. You see, this is why Grace has been complaining because she noticed that radio is predominantly a guy business. Male.
Yes, it is.
And I tried to explain, when you go back and look at WKRP in Cincinnati, that's what radio is.
Well, that's why all the guys got into it. Is that what you're suggesting, or are you saying that that was a docudrama?
Well, I think it was much like Anchorman. By the way, was a that's why Anchorman was so funny, because that's how TV really is.
Truly, with WKRP, and you can probably both attest to this, but for a whole decade, every general manager in the country was called Big Guy.
Among other things, yes.
Well, among other things, true statement.
Mary Walter, Jeff Stein, we've got a lot to go through in this segment. Of course, the midterms are approaching, and the polling data, which we don't believe, but it's sure looking mighty good right now for Republicans. Mary, I'm going to start with you. How are things looking over in the Northeast and New England area?
You know, obviously the big race in this area is, this part of the country, all eyes are on Pennsylvania with the Mastriano race for governor, and also the race with Dr. Oz and John Fetterman for Senate. And I do not understand how John Fetterman has anyone voting for him. It makes no sense to me. And I just think there are just some people, we've gotten to that point in this country, and I think this is a perfect example of how there are some people, not all, who cannot look past the D or the R. They just can't. Well, he's a Democrat. He's my guy. That's my party. I'm going to vote for that person. And I don't understand that, because I vote for a person, not a party. So I just think John Fetterman has horrific ideas, just horrid ideas. He drove the city of Braddock into the ground, and now he wants to do that all for the state of Pennsylvania. So that to me is shocking, but I'm like you, I don't buy these polls. I wonder half the time they're just trying to suppress Republican votes by saying, oh yeah, you know, Fetterman's up, and they're just trying to suppress Republican votes.
Yeah, we tell folks, we have to campaign like we're 20 points behind, and
yes,
we've got to have that mentality. Jeff Stein, there in the heartland, how are things looking?
Cook Report today was very positive for Iowa congressional candidates. Of our four, we have one solid Republican. A tight race for a first-term incumbent now leans strongly on the Republican side. And then the other two, where you've got Marionette Miller Meeks, who only won by 6 votes. That was the 6-vote victory 2 years ago. Now it's a very different district. She is even in the leans Republican category over a very liberal University of Iowa law professor. And as a graduate of that institution, I can tell you very and liberal, you don't need both words. But the big news is, and this is a young man that you had on this program, or we brought him on when I was filling in. His name is Zach Nunn, and he's looking to flip the Des Moines area district from red to blue. It's now leaning Republican, and that is a key pickup. So right here in my home base, we could hold 3 and pick up 1, which could be vital in terms of a Republican majority.
And, you know, we're looking, yesterday we were talking with our affiliate in Salem, Oregon, where the Republican running for governor could actually pull off a massive upset. It'll be the first time in 40 years that a Republican has won there. But I think it goes to show that if the, you know, again, even in super blue places like Oregon, people are just fed up with the crime and with the economy, Mary.
100%. And this is another thing that shocks me, besides the fact that Fetterman, you know, that fight, he's going to be on the cover of Vanity Fair if he wins with all his hoodies. I don't understand how the Democrats are so tone deaf on this. The Democrats are experts at reading the room and crafting the message to fit that. And it's not really happening. Some of them are trying to, you know, backpedal on things that they said, but they were so vocal. So many of them were so vocal about their support for defunding the police, that it's coming back to haunt them, and they can't really get past it. So to me, that part of this equation this time around makes this a very weird election cycle, because the Democrats, to me, are just so off message, so tone deaf, like I have never seen before. And I am ancient. I actually voted for Hoover. So, you know, I'm that old.
Wow, you look great for, you know, 120.
Thank you.
Wow, very nice. Carrie Lake's campaign looking very good in Arizona. Blake Masters, the polling data there is all over the place, but one has them actually in a dead heat. Then in Alaska, Tim Murtaugh, our good friend, former Trump guy, Tim Murtaugh says that Kelly Shabaka is actually ahead in that race, which could be a fascinating thing, because she is the Trump-endorsed candidate there for the Senate.
Well, and as you look at the key issues, picking up on what Mary was accurately pointing out, you're looking across the kitchen table trying to pay your bills, and you've got gas spiking again. You've got an administration that's out of control on crime. You've got all of these Democrats who make these public statements and then try to run from them in an election year, and all a Republican has to do is show your checkbook and show those clips of defund the police, and that's going to appeal to most voters' sense, Todd, of economic and personal security, and there are very few things for families more important than that.
By the way, some new intel coming out of Georgia, TheHill.com reporting that Herschel Walker trails Warnock by 3 points. That's after that abortion report came out. I don't think that's going to hurt Walker as much as the media thinks it is. And I wouldn't be surprised if he bounces back and retakes the lead there. Mary.
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll retake the lead. You knew something like this was going to happen. We're in October. This is when the leaked reports to you get these leaked reports to a news outlet that runs with it as if it's gospel. And you know, Herschel Walker totally denies all of this, but it's her word against his. So the Democrats are hoping that comes through. And might I say, regarding the Hill, has anybody else noticed its leftward tilt? Is it me or are they? I don't know. I think that they seem to be right. I mean, they seem to kind of be cheering that Herschel Walker's down. I get it with a lot of their reporting, so I kind of question it at this point. I don't know why I notice a leftward tilt with the Hill, but I do, and that makes me question.
I want to get y'all's reaction to this great campaign ad that came out from the wordsmith of the U.S. Senate. I'm speaking of none other than Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana.
Violent crime is surging in Louisiana. Woke leaders blame the police. I blame the criminals. A mom should not have to look over her shoulder when she's pumping gas. I voted against the early release of violent criminals, and I opposed defunding the police. Look, if you hate cops just because they're cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead. I'm John Kennedy. And I approve this message.
Jeff Stein, call a crackhead.
Oh, sure. I have to follow John Kennedy. No, I mean, but that's the whole point of it, isn't it? It's that when you're able to make political hay, well, let's defund the police. Let's bail the criminals out of jail so they can reoffend. Well, that all sounds really good if you have security. If you have your, you know, Cori Bush can say it's great to defund the police while she has a security detail. That is, to Mary's earlier point, so tone deaf, and you get somebody who can actually speak without Washington gibberish like the senator, there's your closing argument, Todd, right there.
Yeah, and again, by the way, does he not sound like, do you guys, we're going old school here, Green Acres, does he not sound like Mr. Haney?
Mr. Haney, yes! Yes! And by the way, Green Acres is on MeTV now in reruns, so you can watch it at, like, I think it's like 8 o'clock at night. It's on MeTV. It's amazing, and you're 100% right. I never thought of that before, and it's never going to get out of my head now.
Violent crap! Oh, my goodness. I love it.
If your team does not Photoshop Senator Kennedy's head on Mr. Haney's body and post that on the Twitter machine, it's the missed opportunity.
I love it. We'll get right on that, the award-winning team here at the Mighty 990 and the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Guys, we gotta wrap it up here. Final thoughts. Jeff, we'll start with you. What's your prediction? We're 32 days out now from the elections. What's your prediction?
If things track as they are, with these Democrat attacks not sticking and the economy continuing to go down the toilet, I say a 12-vote advantage for Republicans in the House, and they'll have 53 votes in the Senate.
Mary Walter.
I was going to go 51 in the Senate, and I see them picking up more seats in the House. But I think, especially if they can hold on in Pennsylvania, if they can flip that seat in Pennsylvania, I say 51 in the Senate, but more than 20 seats in the House.
All right. We'll get you guys back on between here and Election Day, and we're gonna see how everybody is. Maybe we should have a contest, and we'll bring Hurley and Katz in, and we'll maybe have a prize.
Oh, I love prizes.
Maybe barbecue?
Well, I was just saying a Tennessee football jersey.
Oh, I like that. Or I might get you one of these beautiful snack helmets. By the way, folks, the picture of the snack helmet is on Instagram if you want to check it out. So, all right, Jeff Stein, Mary Walter, y'all are the best, and we appreciate you guys coming on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Bless all right, you, Todd. Thanks much.
All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, people. 55, Grace. You know, I don't feel, not for a couple of more weeks, but I don't feel 55. I can't hear a word you're saying.
I said, you're 55 years young.
Yeah, thank you very much.
There I was you giving you a compliment.
Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you, Grace Baker. Well, folks, today is a very special day. On behalf of our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom, I am designating today as $1,000 Thursday. So in addition to inviting everyone to visit ToddStearns.com and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner to make a gift in any amount, I'm hoping at least five people in our audience who believe in defending religious liberty will each make a tax-deductible gift of $1,000 to help us get urgently needed support to ADF. Now, many of you listening to my voice, recently you sent your son or daughter off to college, and already we're hearing feedback from campuses, which are turning out to be challenging places for students of faith. Public universities all over America are muzzling free speech, adopting rules and codes of conduct, targeting Christian students especially. And that's why I'm asking for your help as we generate support for the Freedom Fund for Alliance Defending Freedom, the nonprofit legal defense organization that stands up for your students' right to free speech and freedom of religion on American college campuses. Now, ADF has won case after case. Whenever public universities try to marginalize students of faith, when that happens, ADF is ready to fight hard for your college students' rights. Our friend Larry Elder really knows what it means to stand up for what you believe after losing a hard-fought battle for governor of California last year. But Larry understands that Alliance Defending Freedom never gives up in the fight for religious liberty and free speech.
It's no secret that our freedoms are under attack more right now than at any time in our history. Churches are being forced to close. Freedom of speech is being muzzled by school boards, and on and on. That's why I'm asking you to step up and make a donation to my friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. Legal defense for men and women just like you. They need your help to keep fighting court battles to protect your freedom.
Yes, and ADF does all its work for free for its clients, including those on campus. But they need your help to cover the substantial cost of defending our freedom. Please go to ToddStearns.com right now. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. And if you can, make a $1,000 donation to the Freedom Fund on this $1,000 Thursday. But whatever size gift, in any amount, it could be $5, it could be $10, you're going to be standing up for the rights of your college student by joining me and supporting Alliance Defending Freedom today. Well, folks, we've got a great rest of the show planned out for you. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to have Cheryl Chumley on from the Washington Times, very concerned about Joe Biden and his mental decline. She's got a great new piece up, says Joe Biden sees dead people. We're going to be talking to her after the top of the hour news. And a little bit later on, a former colleague over at Fox News, John Gibson, is going to drop by. John retired back to Texas, has a beautiful ranch out there. He's the author of a new book called Death in the Reeds. I love these murder mystery books. John Gibson, the author, is going to join us in just a little while. All right, folks, we are also paying attention to new polling data coming out, and we're going to get to that as well as we continue to ramp up for the midterm elections. You heard me say this with Harry and Mary, or rather Jeff Stein and Grace, it's Thursday, with Jeff Stein and Mary Walter. We love Harry Hurley, too. But the reality of it is this. We've got to get out there, regardless of what the polling data says. We've got to, in our minds, we've got to be 20 points behind. You got to get your friends, get your family, get the folks you go to church with. Get them out there and go and vote. Early voting about to kick off all over America. Get out there and engage your constitutional rights. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello, everybody. Hour three of the big show underway. Great to have you with us today. Just a heads up. Herschel Walker is talking to reporters, and which I'm glad to see. He needs to do that. He's got nothing to hide, and we're efforting some of the audio from that, and we'll bring that to you in just a few moments. There is a fascinating column over at CherylChumley.com, simply titled, Joe Biden Sees Dead People. Cheryl is the online opinion editor, host of Bold and Blunt, a great podcast for the Washington Times, and she is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Cheryl, good to have you back with us.
Hi, Todd. Thank you for having me.
Wow. So you start out with a pretty fascinating joke here, but unfortunately, it's not a laughing matter. I mean, this really happened. Joe Biden called out a dead person and asked him to come forward.
Yeah, and this has gone beyond gaffe. I know the mainstream media likes to say, oh, this is Joe Biden and his gaffe, but it's not a gaffe when you call on a dead person for all the world to see. And then, don't forget, hours later, go to a different public stage and wander off mid-sentence and have to be ushered back into the herd, so to speak. This goes beyond just misstatements and mispronunciations of names and so forth. This is actually becoming a national security threat to America.
Yeah, well, yes, and I think we've seen this for quite some time. The mainstream media seemed to wake up, and they certainly asked a lot of questions. But at the end of the day, I'm really not quite sure that they're going to keep covering this kind of story.
Yeah, they did press for some answers in the next day's press conference, right? But that has absolutely been it for the most part of demanding accountability and explanation for our president's mental decline. And it's not as if this is sudden. It's not as if we haven't had warnings. Remember, he campaigned largely from the basement for the White House, and his people blamed it on the coronavirus, but certainly he could have made more public appearances and gone on more national television networks than he did when he was campaigning. And so we knew all along he had some mental issues. But in a year and a half, it's gotten worse, and the big fear here is, where is it going to lead in the next 2 years?
That's a fair question. I mean, today he just acted in a very bizarre manner, walking backwards at the White House. Very strange. Yesterday, I think day before yesterday in Puerto Rico, when he just lurched to a stop while people just kept walking past him, and he was holding his arm as if something was wrong with it. It's kind of like what you would see when somebody has a heart attack. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not suggesting he did, but something is just clearly not right there. And I'm wondering why Democrats are not as concerned as the rest of us are.
Or his wife. I mean, just from a human perspective, can you imagine just, your wife treating you that way, pretending as if nothing is wrong, go home, folks, nothing to see here, and continuing to put you out there in the public to, let's put it bluntly, make a fool of yourself. And the idea that Jill Biden allows the Democrats to exploit her husband for political purposes should be angering to her. But what I see, from my long-distance viewpoint at least, what I see is that she just continues to revel in the richness of the White House experience.
He was 30, she was 12. I think that explains a lot. Cheryl, I want to get into the international implications here, because we're literally on the verge of what could be a world war. Lots of concerns on multiple stages here. What sort of a message is this sending to our enemies and then to our allies?
Absolutely. So if you're China right now, you're loving this, right? If you're Iran, Russia, North Korea, you are loving this. But if you are Taiwan or Israel, you have to be doing some serious fingernail biting as you see this president every day out in the public doing something that calls into question his mental competency.
Not only China, you have Russia, you've got Ukraine, and certainly it seems as if Ukraine is basically telling the United States what to do and how much money to send over.
Yeah, and let's remember this, you know, this president isn't just the president of the United States. He's commander in chief, which puts him in charge of our armed forces. So if you look at his obvious inability to be a solid, strong commander in chief, and then combine that with what's taken place with our military under this administration, the wokeness, the diversity and inclusiveness training that our cadets at the Air Force and other branches, members in other branches are being subjected to, along with the exodus from the military because of the so-called vaccines, the forced shots, and the reluctance of many fine members of what could be military members in America joining the military because they don't want to get the shot. This is all a recipe for disaster, not just a military disaster, but a national policy disaster. And it's setting the international world on fire.
Well, Cheryl, we have a link to your great column over at ToddStearns.com. Folks, got to read that, got to follow Cheryl and all the great opinion writers over at the Washington Times. Cheryl, got to leave it there. Always good having you on the show.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, folks, both Mike Huckabee and Donald Trump agree that you need to read Dick Morris's new book. It's called The Return, and it's already topping bestseller list. Former President Trump says, hey, this is a great book, wants you to get a copy of it. Mike Huckabee recently urged every American to read The Return. So here's what this book is about. In The Return, Dick Morris explains why Trump, not DeSantis, must be the candidate in 2024. He even reveals the moves Hillary Clinton is taking to prepare to run against Trump. Now, The Return reveals Trump's secret plan to win. Newsmax says The Return is the political book of the year. The elections are coming up soon, and you want to find out why everyone is getting The Return. An Amazon number one bestseller. Get Dick Morris, The Return, in bookstores everywhere. Or check out the free offer from Newsmax. Save $28. Call 1-800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX. Or go to thereturn911.com. That's thereturn911.com to get your copy today. All right, folks, yesterday we told you the breaking news from Cartoon World that Velma Dinkley is a lesbian. Yes, we said it, ladies and gentlemen. The Washington Post, this is the lead paragraph in just 13 seconds, a viral clip from the latest Scooby-Doo movie released on streaming services this week, settled decades of speculation and fan debates. Velma Dinkley is gay, undoubtedly, unambiguously gay. May I just ask, why is this even a major news story? For one thing, Velma is not gay. Velma is a cartoon character who was created to portray a geeky girl, not a lesbian. Anyway, Grace Baker, you were telling me in the break to do something, and it made me very nervous. So you told me to go to Google, and so we're going to ask our audience to do this because I want to get their reaction to what I just saw on my computer screen. So you told me to go to Google and type in the search Velma. Is that right?
Yep.
All right. So I typed in Velma, and nothing happened for a second, and then all of a sudden, the screen was filled with like some sort of a celebration with gay pride flags and confetti and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. You had the trans flag, you know, you had the gay pride flag, because now they're just, you know, they keep changing the flags, so I can't keep up with it. And the confetti's everywhere, all over your screen. Can't miss it.
Velma, this is from the Washington Post story. Again, we're talking about a major American newspaper. In a later scene, Velma professes her thirst for Diablo.
What the?
I'm just reading here. Quote, I'm crushing big time. Oh, I've got to get into the lesbian voice. I'm crushing big time, Daphne. What do I do? What do I say? Trinity Wheeler, an 18-year-old student from Ontario, Canada, was the first person to share a clip from the new film online, adding the caption in all caps, OMG, lesbian Velma, finally. After 48 hours, the video has been played more than 5.5 million times, received more than 200,000 likes. Well, that's not a lot of likes. I mean, if it's been seen 5.5, you know why? Because nobody cares about this stuff, and they don't like these radical LGBT mobs taking great cartoon characters from our childhood and turning them gay.
I love Scooby-Doo. One of my favorites.
I wasn't a big fan of Scrappy-Doo. Make Scrappy-Doo a lesbian. But you got
characters you don't like,
basically. Superman, Batman, Robin.
We all kind of suspected that one.
Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and the Dolphin. You've got Freaky Spider-Man stuff. Now, who's gay. I mean, Thor.
Can't keep up with it.
Bert and Ernie.
Again, suspected that one.
Why would you suspect? They're just
two
friendly
puppets. I mean,
the Rubber
Ducky song was a little weird.
All right, I'll give you that. But all I'm saying is, why can't we let children be children? Why is everything being turned into an LGBT pride parade? Why is that?
It's also just turning sexual in general. It's just kind of creepy.
I mean, what's next? Really, what's next? George Jetson wearing buttless leather chaps?
Poor Astro.
Ruh-roh, George. I don't know. But it's disgusting and it's despicable. If you want to create gay and lesbian cartoon characters, go and create gay and lesbian cartoon characters. It's a free country. But you don't have a right to go and co-opt something that's already out there. Do they have the art? Do they have the makers, the creators of Scooby-Doo? Do they have their permission to turn their beloved character into some sort of a political statement? I mean, do that. What's next? Charlie Brown?
Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin?
Oh, there's Schroeder. It's always the piano player. I'm just saying.
The jazz hands.
Lucy. Where do you draw the line with this stuff? But people really, I don't know. Anyway, look, okay, it's just go to Google and type in Velma and see what happens. And give us a call. Let us know literally, Google is now celebrating the rebirth of, I guess, Velma, who, by the way, wasn't the whole thing, the whole gay rights movement. They were born that way, right? That was the whole gay rights movement. We were born that way. Velma wasn't born that way.
I'm telling you, she dated Shaggy at one point. It was a thing.
Well, I'm just saying. And what's up with those Scooby snacks? I don't think those are Scooby snacks.
Oh, there's definitely something in them.
I think that's code for something else.
Anyway. Beats me.
All right, 844-747-8868. As promised, Herschel Walker, and I'm a big proponent of this, get Herschel out there. Look, the man's running for the U.S. Senate. He needs to address the media. Don't shy away. Speak your mind, sir. This is Herschel Walker just a few moments ago.
Any of the mothers of your children?
No.
To ask why? Why not?
Why'd I need to?
Well, because according to the article, the woman who says that you paid for her to have an abortion is also the mother of one of your children. It seems like that's an easy way to...
Because of the article, I had more kids. That's why I didn't reach out to anyone, because I said no, and that's what I mean. When I said no, I said it's not correct. That's a lie. And that's what I mean. That's a lie.
But if the woman said that,
yes, let me go to her.
Thank you. You said that if this did happen, there's nothing to be ashamed of. How do you?
Wait, I never said.
You said that this morning on your.
No, what I said, I was talking about something totally different than if this did happen. I said with my ex-wife and with my past, nothing to do with what this woman said. I said this here, the abortion thing is false. It's a lie. And that's what I said. I said anything happened with my ex-wife or what Christian was talking about, I don't know. But as I said, if anything happened, there's nothing to be ashamed of, because my ex-wife and I have been the best of friends with her husband and my wife. So that's the thing I've said. And I said nothing about if it did happen, because I said that's a lie. Let me go to somebody else.
What's your reaction to people so close to you? Your son, a mother of your, of someone who says it's you, the mother of your kids, saying that you're lying. What's your reaction to people so close to you saying don't trust you?
Well, just like what I just said, the Democrats are desperate for this seat. This seat is important. They're very desperate for this seat. I love my family. I always love my family. I'm going to win this race. I know I'm going to win this race and stuff.
All right, there you go. I mean, Herschel Walker standing up to the media mob there. What a den of vipers. sleazy. You know what? I want to apologize to Vipers because they're beneath the Vipers, the mainstream media. All right, keep fighting out there, Herschel. Don't back down. You just keep going at them. All right, this happened on The View. Is this Anna Navarro? She was talking about Joe Biden. Folks, if you're eating a ham sandwich or bologna, just put the sandwich down. I don't want you to hurl your lunch. Take a listen.
I can tell you that there's a time for politics and there's a time to get things solved. This is a time for solutions. Yeah. And yes, you need Daddy Biden to show up because he's the one that's got FEMA. He's the one that's got the big bucks. He's the one that's got the Army Corps of Engineers, and the people in Florida need help. But I want to highlight something that I think it's...
Okay, we're done. I just wanted to hear the Daddy Biden part. Wow, she called him Daddy Biden. I wonder if 12-year-old Jill called 30-year-old Joe Daddy Biden back in the day. Maybe we could research that. Maybe we could get a hold of Biden's biographer. I suspect that's not the first time that a woman has called Joe Daddy Biden. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Jackson in Iowa wants to weigh in on Scooby-Doo. All right, Jackson, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, first I want to tell you that Ann that you were just talking about, she's a Republican, you know.
Well, allegedly.
Right. Well, she's supposedly a Republican. Okay, what I'm talking about is, you know how in music it's called plagiarism if you steal music. You agree?
I do agree, yes.
Okay, George Harrison got in trouble for My Sweet Lord compared to the Chiffon song He's So Fine. Wow, now, the creator of this character, Thelma and Scooby-Doo in general, isn't that copyrighted and isn't it protected from the owner? I mean, can you just change that character without his or her permission?
That is a terrific question, Jackson. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure that the guys who created Scooby-Doo are still with us, but whoever inherited the copyrights would be able to answer that question. Maybe, just maybe, it is not explicitly written that, you know, our characters are heterosexual, because I don't think anybody ever would have thought that we would be in a spot like this, Jackson.
Right. I don't understand why you want to change your character. Leave it alone, for Christ's sake.
That's it. Oh, my goodness. All right, Jackson, it's a great point. We'll check into that. Is it a copyright issue? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. John Gibson coming up next. This is the Todd Stern Show. Baker, you didn't warn Kyle, but that also does it on the cell phone as well. So when you type in Velma on the Google, it'll explode into the celebratory.
It barfs out rainbow.
Just like one of those unicorns.
Yep.
Ah, there you go. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. ToddStearns.com is our website, and we have the story up on Velma. Is she a switch hitter? No, she's full-blown. Yeah, all right. The L. All right. I just want to make sure, Grace. Just double check. Can you do some research? See if we can get a comment from, I don't know, the cartoon world. I'm sure Bugs Bunny or Elmer Fudd or somebody might want to weigh in on that. All right. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Good friend of this program, former Fox colleague. I will say this. It's sort of like old, like home week here. We had Bill O'Reilly on the show yesterday. John Gibson has a brand new book called Death in the Reeds. And John's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. John, how's it going today?
Well, it's going good, Todd. I must say, I'm very impressed with what you've done with the Mighty 990. You know, when you
when things don't work at Fox, in my case, I should have gone out and bought a radio station, but you did it, and congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's actually, I think I should have done what you did and have a ranch. So you look like you're having a great time down in Texas.
Well, I am. At the moment, I'm out back with some guys building a barn, there's all of that. But in between, I still have time to sit down and write stuff that isn't true, which is actually fun.
I love it, and we're going to get into the book in just a second. I'm just curious, after leaving Fox and moving back to Texas, for me, it was moving back home to Memphis, and it's a different pace, and I didn't realize how much I missed that pace until I moved back home. What about you?
Well, the same, and, I still read the papers every day. I read the New York Times and the New York Post and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal. And the way life has deteriorated in New York is just shocking.
It is.
Just shocking. And I'm so grateful to not be trying to ride the subway or walk the streets. I guess you go around with a Kevlar jacket in case somebody's going to stab you in the back as you walk along. But I am just amazed that they have let that city go so far down into the gutter. Well, sewer, actually.
And yet here we are in, you're in southwestern state. I'm in the mid-south. The people here are very angry at Washington, and you can see that the politicians don't get it. That they think this is all about the abortion issue or Trump. This is about whether or not you can put food on the table or put gas in the car,
or whether or not your kid is going to go to school and suddenly find himself in a drag queen show. I mean, it's not just the politicians that control our national economy. It's the school boards and, local officials that are bound and determined for some reason to bow down to the woke left, no matter what. And I just don't think they get it at all. And we all know that there's a reckoning coming on November 8th for our national politicians, but I think there's a reckoning coming for local people as well. They're going to be shocked out of their chairs.
I think a lot of people were very surprised at that election down on the border, where you had a Republican winning for the first time ever, or in a very long time. How are things looking in Texas with Beto O'Rourke, the fake Mexican Bobby Francis? Does he have a shot against Greg Abbott?
I just don't think so. Now, look, his base is down in the Rio Grande Valley along the border, which is 600-700 miles from me. So, I can't exactly put my finger on the pulse, but I can just tell you around here, the whole idea of Beto for governor is a joke. The idea that he's going to start taking away guns, that's the end of the conversation. There's nothing further to say. And I just think he's going to get stomped into a mud hole again.
I only wish that the late Molly Ivins, who was, I don't know if she was far left, but she was certainly liberal, but she was pro-Second Amendment, Molly Ivins was, God rest her soul, and I have to imagine she would have had a few things to say about Bobby Francis.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is what's happened, is like MSNBC, the left is no longer just liberal. It's out, as our worthy leader, Roger Ailes used to say, out where the buses don't run, it's so far left. And, I think they're sorely mistaken. I mean, I understand these views win elections in California and they win elections in New York State, but I don't think they win many elections in between. I mean, maybe Pennsylvania, but once you get past that, people look at you like you've grown a green thing out of the top of your head if you start spouting some of this stuff. And I think they're really, the inflation's bad, gas prices are bad, food prices are bad, all of that. But when you start messing with their kids, when you tell them that you're going to have them, you know, engage in gender dysphoria conversations secretly at school, and you're going to indoctrinate them into trans and non-binary, people say, oh, time out. Wait a second. We are not doing that.
No, you're absolutely right, and we're seeing even a lot of people on the other side of the aisle saying, hey, wait a second, you're not doing that. You're not teaching that to my kid. That's not your right. That's my responsibility, not yours.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what we used to call, you know, sensible Democrats, sensible Republicans, they meet on a lot of issues, and kids is usually one of them.
It's a great point. We got to talk about this book, though. I read your first book, and it was, that was a page-turner. You came out, there's a new one called Death in the Reeds, and it came out just a couple of weeks ago. And it take us back to the start of this book, because you take us back to the start of the Iraq War. What's the book about?
Well, okay, so my first book, and I'm glad you liked it, was called O.J.'s Knife. And it was about the fact there really was a knife that the cops never found. And in my fictional story, two guys find it, and then stuff happens. In this case, there really was an object stolen from the Iraq Museum at the start of the Iraq War, along with thousands of other objects. I mean, the Iraq Museum was looted. And this particular piece, many of the pieces that were stolen have been recovered. This one has never been recovered. It's known in academic circles as the Lioness and the Nubian Boy. And what it depicts is a lioness on top of a young boy killing him, about to sink her jaws into his neck. Now, there's two of them in the world. One of them's at the British Museum. The other one was at the Iraq Museum. And at the start of the Iraq War, it was stolen, and it's not been recovered. It's probably in the collection of some billionaire or Vladimir Putin or George Soros, maybe. And it, who knows if it will ever turn up. Well, my story imagines the guy who stole it, getting it out of Iraq, planning to sell it through some twists and turns. It winds up in San Francisco, where the former girlfriend of my protagonist, Mickey Judge, the TV reporter, is trying to sell it for a big commission. And my boy Mickey is trying to tell her, this is bad. This is against international law. You will go to prison. Do not do this. But she plows ahead. And so, you know, it's a crime story, really, is what it is. And there are people who get killed. And the TV reporter guy is trying to, you know, intervene in all of this, and he gets himself in some major trouble, too. Now, you're about to ask me, is this TV reporter you, John Gibson? No, I modeled him on Todd Starnes, because Todd, when Todd would have breaks in his reportorial duties, he would go out and solve crime.
That's exactly what I was doing in Brooklyn, living among the indigenous liberal population, John Gibson.
Yeah, that's right.
No, but I did want to ask you, because you and I shared the great Christine, who was Grace Baker is my new Christine here, but Christine from New Jersey, and I'm wondering, and she's just salt of the earth, and she and her husband actually met on your show. Is that right?
That is right. Yeah.
Is she in the book? That's what I want to know. That was the question I wanted to ask.
No, but I jokingly said to her, because she's now producing the Guy Benson show, I said, hey, is Guy going to put me on a show? And she said, I'll ask. And then I thought about the second chapter in the book where there is a person who might be mistaken for somebody at Fox has a very short temper. And I thought, you know, Christine, maybe it's better if you don't ask. Maybe it's better if we don't run a wave a red cape in front of that person.
Just let that one slide. I love it. JohnGibson.com is the website, folks. Get yourself these books. They're great reads. You're going to, especially in the wintertime, just put a couple of logs on the fire, sit down in the leather chair, and just start reading these great books, Death in the Reeds.
The easiest thing is Amazon.com, Death and the Reefs by John Gibson. Place your order. It's there in 2 days.
Fantastic. Well, John, good hearing from you. And I know you guys, you're not getting off that ranch, but you know, you can make your way over to Memphis and we'll have some ribs.
Well, if you ever find yourself without something to say, and I realize that would be a rare day, give me a call. I'll always chew the news with you.
I love it. All right, I'm going to hold you to that because you were so kind to me when I was at Fox. You would have me on all the time talking about the crazy stories out there.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
I always wanted to have you on, and I'm really very impressed, Todd, with what you've done with that station. Congratulations.
Well, thanks, John. We just got a great team here, and they put up with me, and they do a great job, and we're super proud of them. So, and we'd love to get you over here, show you around, and you know, maybe they could ask you a couple of questions, and you can show them some of the tricks of the trade.
Yeah, sure. And they could show me around Beale Street, right? That's where you go.
We can definitely do that after hours. So,
okay.
All right. John Gibson, ladies and gentlemen, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the author of the great new book, Death in the Reeds. You can get yourself a copy wherever you buy your books, Amazon, or you can go to johngibson.com for more information. We've got to take a quick break. May I tell you about Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless service? They do such an incredible job. They are fighting in the trenches to restore traditional American values to our public schools. And that's why I am such a huge fan of what they do. By the way, they've got incredible wireless coverage. You can go to patriotmobile.com/Todd right now, patriotmobile.com/Todd. You can click on the tab that says check coverage, and you'll be able to type in your address, and they'll tell you exactly how strong the coverage is in your area. Now, you say, well, Todd, I'm on a budget fixed income. It's okay. They've got a plan to fit any budget, and they're not going to be hard selling you. These are fellow Christian conservatives, and they're going to want to help you out. They're going to give you, get this, use my promo code Todd. You're going to get free premier activation, and they're going to throw in a free gift as well. And if you're a veteran or a first responder, they're going to throw in an additional discount. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Message from somebody that said, Todd, you have the best bumper music in all of conservative talk radio. I said, well, we've got the best audio engineer in all of talk radio, and that's why Kyle puts together those playlists. And you know what we ought to do, Grace? I know this is more work for Kyle, but he's always begging to do more. It, without being paid extra, it's
sacrificial.
Uh-huh. But maybe we ought to put together like a list, maybe on the live show block. Here are the songs that you're hearing tonight.
Like a sampling.
Yeah, a sample or something. So people might want to go
in. We're talking about mixtapes this week.
Yes. Mary says, Todd, in my area, gas has gone up 30 cents a gallon. I am curious, folks, if you've actually seen the gas prices starting to rise in your area, let us know. Rod says, Todd, organic chemistry, talking about that new NYU professor who got fired. Organic chemistry is a weed out class at any university. You either get it or you don't. And getting it takes massive study, and even then it's hard. Well, there you go. Hey, by the way, folks, again, today, $1,000 Thursday. We are raising money all this month for our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. You say, why is this important? Remember Jack Phillips, the baker out in Colorado? The poor guy was just bullied and battered by the LGBT mob. He just won his case thanks to Alliance Defending Freedom. So today we're asking five people in the audience. Okay, Grace is raising her hand. Four people in the audience now to make a $1,000 gift. It's all tax deductible, and you're going to be helping out some very good people at Alliance Defending Freedom. Folks, these people are fighting for us every single day. You know what, Grace, we're going to do? All right, if these people, and they'll give us a list of who, or they'll tell us, hey, these are the people that hit the $1,000 mark. Grace, we're going to give those people today, we're going to give them copies of Culture Jihad and our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a draw.
That sounds pretty good to me.
The books themselves are worth $2,000.
Dang.
The recipe, they're good recipes. What can
they
I tell you?
They are priceless.
You can't go wrong with a good biscuit recipe. I'm just saying. But again, go to toddstearns.com, click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner. You give $1,000 today, I'm going to send you a copy, signed copies of Culture Jihad and our daily biscuit, just my way of saying thank you. We have some breaking news to share with you. This is from the Washington Post, so this is sort of huge. Federal agents investigating President Biden's son Hunter have gathered what they believe is sufficient evidence to charge him with tax crimes and a false statement related to a gun purchase. They are not naming their sources. The story is written by Devlin Barrett and Perry Stein. The next step is for the U.S. attorney in Delaware, a Trump administration holdover. Hunter's about to go to jail. The next step is for the U.S. attorney in Delaware, a Trump administration holdover, to decide on whether to file such charges. Now, the investigation started in 2018 and became a central focus of President Trump's run for reelection. This is the crux here, and you watch what's going to happen. Hunter's going to spill the beans. Hunter is going to try and save his own skin here. So he may very well throw the whole Biden crime syndicate under the bus. Because keep in mind, it was all about taking care of the big guy. And we all know who the big guy is. The 30-year-old who had eyes on the 12-year-old back in the day. We're talking about the guy who is Puerto Rican. That's he really does think he's Puerto Rican now. Who knew? So we're going to keep an eye on this story. We're going to have an update for you at toddstearns.com in just a few moments. But the breaking news looks like Hunter Biden may be getting charged with some crimes here. All right, folks, stick around. Have a great rest of your day. Listen to this radio station. I don't care what station it is. Listen to this radio station. Hey, tomorrow I'm heading to North Carolina. We'll have a guest host.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.